than what we got. Oh, goodness. Wow. How funny. Well, good morning to you. We have a message this morning that I hope will touch you. You know, we're living in a pretty confused world right now, aren't we? Really confused. People are so searching for something to fill them. They're so incomplete, and they're so trying to find something to bring them rest in their lives. And I'm just saddened by what I'm seeing. I'm saddened by what people's misinterpreted what the love really is, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, I think Shirley put on Facebook, I thought it was good, that, you know, because we don't accept or approve your beliefs doesn't mean we don't love. I'm tired of being cornered that way. I'm tired of it being turned around against me that way. I don't love because I don't accept whatever somebody wants to believe. Love is absolutely telling the truth, is what love really is. If you love someone, like I said last week, you raise your kids with rules and regulations because you love them. You don't just let them reign free and do what they want. If you're not, you're not really being a parent. And God gives us his word, and God does love us. But I'm sad because I see so many broken people, so many broken lives. I see it as a pastor throughout the congregation. I see it wherever I go. I've seen it firsthand in my own home, brokenness. And it's a bad place to be, broken. It's a bad place to be in the dark. And all it takes, church, is the breath of God breathing upon your life. Now, each of us need that breath of God to really function. Each of us need that breath to be able to have any kind of victory in this earth. And what I see is happening is people are so barren inside. They're barren. They're empty. They're void. They're dry. And we need more than just a church service. We need more than going through the motions. We need more than having a good word or a good time. We need an experience of the breath of God touching us inside. We need the breath of God blowing up on the womb of us. And that's what I kept hearing last night over here. God kept saying, I want to breathe upon your womb. I want to breathe upon your womb. See, the womb is where life is. The womb is where life begins. The womb is where life is created. And so many people are bankrupt inside. No life. No hope. Nothing to look forward to. As Rodney says, we must have an eternal perspective, for this life is fleeting day by day. Every day we breathe a day closer to our eternity. Every day we're alive, a day we're closer to the end of this world and the beginning of our new world. And so we must have that breath of God to change our hearts. See, nothing changes until God blows upon it. Nothing is created until God speaks to it. Genesis 1 tells us, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be, and there was. God said, let there be, and it happened. Because God breathed upon something that was dead and caused it to live again. Just like with Lazarus when he went to the tomb and he breathed upon his life. Though he had been dead for 4 days, the breath of God resurrected him from his state of death and rose him up again to say, you may be dead, but I'm breathing life into you. And when I breathe upon you, what was dead can't stay dead. What was void can't stay void. What was empty can't stay empty. For when I breathe on you, I fill you with something you didn't have before. That's what God wants to do in this hour. Is breathe upon his people in a way that breaks the yoke, that breaks the stronghold, that breaks the binding ties that are keeping people bound and lost and in darkness. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this, he shall not hunger, he shall not thirst. I am the living water, that it will flow in and continually flow out, because that's what I am. God wants to fill our dead place with life, and that takes the breath of his spirit breathing upon us. We have a world that is so discouraged, a world, I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about men of God, women of God, that are facing discouragement, that are facing confusion, that the world is all around us too. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that we are that harm and evil and temptation doesn't try to destroy us. And we see that all around us where the devil is trying to pull us in this miry clay. But like David said, God pulled me out of the miry clay and he set me back again up on the rock where I belong. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit, not just to make a charismatic movement, but to make an inward manifestation that changes our lives and changes our hearts and changes our minds, that we have a real experience. We have a Moses moment where the bush cried out and we said, "Oh God, what do you want?" And we need that burning bush moment in our lives today where God visits us, not in a religious sector, but in an inward, Holy Spirit empowered way that changes our whole lives. The world's hungry for that. Church, there's a lot of good preaching, a lot of good teaching, a lot of big fancy churches, but all that's void if your inside's not changed. None of that matters if your heart leaves the way that it came in, or if the stronghold is still there and hasn't been broken. And only one thing can break that, and that is the power of Jesus. It's the only thing that can break that chain is his power. And God wants to breathe upon our lives that we leave here changed by his presence, because his presence now lives in us as a believer. Let's look at the book of Joel. I hope you found it by now. I've had it up there for a while so you can find the book of Joel. This is chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. Look what Joel says. It says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Wouldn't you love to be restored today? You've been robbed of joy. You've been robbed of peace. You've been robbed of power. You've been robbed through fear, robbed through discouragement. The devil's came in and took years of quality living out of your life. And God is saying, it doesn't matter what happened in the past, for I have a future for you that is far greater than the past. Put the past behind you and let me restore you again and pick you back up out of that pit that you can be what I've called you to be. We have wasted time because we've let the enemy come in our lives and dictate how we live our lives. We've let the enemy come in to our lives and pull us off track, and we've lost what God is trying to give us. We are the saints of God. We are children of the Most High King. We should be walking in power, in peace, in joy, in love, in compassion, understanding, and authority, because we belong to the King, and we need to be restored again from all the hurt, all the pain, all the brokenness that's come against our lives. And God has promised Israel. Now, I know he's talking to Israel. For all of you that are literal, I understand. He's talking to the nation of Israel. But we can also apply this to our lives right now, that God is going to restore us because we've been down way too long. We've been broken way too long. We've been defeated way too long. And that's not God's desire for our lives. The enemy paints this picture of, where is God at? Where is God at in this? And why are you going through this? And if God was that, you would be doing this. If God was there, well, all of that paints a picture that is false against our God. Our God is with us. Our God is in us. And without God, but for God, where would we be right now? But for God, how far down the road would we be? But because of God, he has kept you more than you realize. He has watched you more than you realize. He's protected you more than you realize. God is in the midst of his people, and he wants to bring a restoration. We know what restore means in the natural. You talk to any guy that collects cars, take an old car, looks like nothing, it's all shelled out and looks bad. He spends thousands and thousands of dollars getting that car back together. He restores it. And when that car's done, it's a showpiece. It looks like it would come off the line of 1955 right out of the shop. You took something that was decrepitated, something that was decayed, something that had no value. Are y'all hearing me? Something had no value. And then all of a sudden, now it's got value because God restored it. God took a life that was on the way to death, hell, and the grave, and he stepped in at Calvary. He restored what the enemy tried to destroy. He restored us at Calvary and made everything right again. And now there's value in the eyes of God. Church, you have value in the eyes of God. No matter what you've done or where you've been, there's value in the eyes of God because he's restored you. Restoration is a beautiful thing. We need to be restored because a lot's happened. It's called life. Christian asked me yesterday, she goes, you miss being a kid? I said, heck yeah. Heck to the yeah, I miss being a kid. Don't grow up, children. Parents were like, don't say that. Don't grow up. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I miss being a kid. I didn't worry about nothing. Mom and Dad took care of everything. So what? I had rules. I'd about to go back and live with them again now. I mean, life's hard. You got challenges. I'll do every now. I'll take a quick 3-minute shower. That's fine. I don't use no hot water. Let me come back home. You take care of everything. No problems, no bills, no worries, no kids. Just life's so good. Life is hard as we grow up and we go through different seasons and we go through emotional change. I don't care. Anybody says there are emotional changes we go through at certain ages. Whether you're a man or a woman, there's emotional changes. We start thinking about things. I've got a birthday coming up, and the birthday I'm going to be turning is starting to sound old. Bill's already there. I'm going to be this. Oh, my gosh. That's starting to sound like real middle age. I actually sound like a middle-aged man, but I don't feel that way. I know I look that way, but I don't feel that way. And I'm like, my gosh, we go through changes. And life can be hard, and life can tear us down. We go through marriage problems, children problems, financial stress, health issues. There are many people in my age group already got all kinds of health problems. And so all these things can chip away and can pull us back. And God is saying, don't stay there. That's what I called you for. I called you to understand my hand is on you, not just temporarily, but always. My hand not just on you in the good seasons, but when you're in that dark place that you see no way out, my hand is just as real and my voice is just as powerful. I'm still the thunder and lightning of all creation. And at any moment, your destiny can change because my hand's on your life. That's what God wants to do. So don't be discouraged. You are His. He wants to restore. Then Joel goes on to say, we shall eat in plenty and we shall be satisfied. People aren't satisfied, church. They're hungry for something else. Nothing satisfies them. You may go get a brand new dream car and you may love it for a while, but it's not going to satisfy that inner desire that you truly have. No home, no car, no relationship humanly will satisfy that place God reserved for Himself. So there's a place all of us have, church, that God wants to live. And the problem is many push Him away and reject Him, and many allow Him in. But that place is available, and that place is there. Let Him in. Let Him feel that place. They shall be satisfied, and they will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. There was no other path, church. I was telling somebody the other day at Food Line, I said, you know, I don't know why so many folks want to try to avoid the cross. They want to go every other way but the cross. You know, I'm spiritual but not religious. What does that mean? You know, or, you know, well, I believe, you know, there's something up there, but I don't know about this Jesus. The Bible's clear. There is one way, period. But people do their best to dodge that one way. Why is it so hard to humble yourselves to the foot of the cross where the blood was shed for you and me? Humble ourselves under the one King of Kings, the perfect Lamb of God, who was led to the slaughter like a sheep but did not open his mouth, who was bruised for our transgressions, he was whipped for our iniquities. His stripes brought us healing. Why is it so hard for us to say, yes, Lord, you are the Messiah. Yes, Lord, you're the one that lived and died and rose the third day. Yes, Lord, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, Lord, there is no other way, and I give all that I have unto you. One way changes our whole destiny. But people will dodge that and go every other way. People, I hear this all the time, especially from the younger generation. Well, I'm on a self-discovery journey. Well, let me know how that turns out. Because you're going to be as confused 40 years from now as you was when you started if you don't find Jesus. Because there's nothing to discover but Him. Everything else you discover is not fulfilling. Everything else you try to strike gold here, it's fool's gold. You strike over here, fool's gold. Strike over here, fool's gold. But man, when you strike at the cross, everything changes. His breath changes everything. My people should never be put to shame. Look at verse 28. It shall come to pass. The church, I've heard this verse. If you have any Pentecostal roots, we heard this our whole lives. It shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That word prophesy, speaking under the inspiration of God's word. Speaking it out. Declaring it. My spirit will be poured upon all flesh. Think about that. Visualize that in your head. His spirit being poured, covering humanity. This was prophesied hundreds of years before it came to pass. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants will I pour out my spirit. Why is that important? Remember we talked last week, or Wednesday night, we talked about going behind the veil and how only the high priest had that authority. And even the regular priest couldn't go behind the veil. Only the high priest could go behind the veil one day, one time a year. Now all of a sudden, think how much this has shocked the cultural world. Only the high priest could touch God one day a year, but you're telling me that little me, little handmaiden, little manservant, little nobody, little common middle class working American, nobody knows their name, you're going to pour your spirit on me? Yes. I'm going to pour. My spirit's not going to be contained in this little veil anymore. My spirit's not going to be contained in this one little tent for one man one time a year. But my spirit's going to be unleashed to be poured upon all who would believe. Church, all of us can have this breath of God breathe upon us. We don't have to be something special. We don't have to hold a title. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to be from a certain denomination. We don't have to be this or be that. All we have to do is be a vessel that is willing. A vessel says, God, could you breathe on me? God, could you help me? Lord, is there any way you could possibly come in my life and touch me? Yes, I want to. I'll be glad to pour my spirit upon your flesh. Because once we receive his touch for ourselves, not on mama and daddy's religion, not on grandma, what she told you. See, we've got to have it ourselves. Or it don't mean nothing. We've got to have it. And I thank God that I have it. I thank God that he breathed on me in 1980 and changed my whole life. I thank God he still breathes on me. I thank God I can still feel his presence whenever I call upon his name. That his presence can saturate and overtake. It can overshadow a room. And it's not. So many people have said it's fake and it's not real, the Spirit of God. And when you feel those things, it's this, and it's this. Church, I know I've been at the burning bush. I've been behind the veil. I've been there. And I know the presence of God. And I know that it's real. Every time I felt it, I've never been drunk and I've never been high. I know it's real. The presence of God is something. I've been here before by myself, and the presence of God would usher in just me here, and I could just sew. No keyboard going, no music, no congregation to preach to, just me and God. And I can feel his presence come in and just overshadow me. It's a beautiful thing. Breathing upon my life, pouring himself into me, restoring that which has been broken, repairing that which needs to be fixed. See, we have an ongoing mechanic with God. Ongoing. We break down from time to time. And God is there to restore us and to fix us and to help us. We go through so many battles. We go through so many storms. We go through so much. I'm going to tell you, you want to see how people are living their lives, go to the courthouse on any Monday or Tuesday morning if you can find a parking space. And go sit down for the morning and watch all the people in there and all the cases that go up there. All the lives that are just out, just all the situations. Seeing young men and young women, young people just throwing their lives away. Throwing it away. And God wants to restore that life. God wants to bring purpose. Church, there is a purpose to our life. That's the age-old question, right? What's the purpose? And let's just be real. I've never been a preacher that fabricated or sugarcoated or just went off what somebody else said. I want to dig into it for myself and know. So let's just put it as it is. I know we've all thought this at some point. If you've not thought it, it's because you're scared to think it. But don't be scared to think it, because we all think it. What's the purpose? And this goes against every, I know, positive teaching. But just let's be real for a minute. I'm born. I go through sorrows. I go through pain. Why did I go through a divorce? Why did my husband die? Why did my kid have cancer? Why can I have kids? Why does the kids I have die? You know, why do we ever have no money? Why do I lose my house? Why do I lose my car? Why do I have this addiction? Why do I have this stronghold? Why do I have my? Why did God allow me to have a mom and dad that beat me? You know, why this and why this? And I live these years. I have a horrible marriage. I have terrible kids. I have bad health. Blah blah blah. And then I just die. So what was the purpose of that? There's a great purpose to life. There's a wonderful purpose to life, church. And life can be good again if our life's in Christ. Just because we're saved, because we belong to Him, doesn't mean we're not going to go through battles and storms. We do. This man that stands before you, a pastor, and I've done things wrong. I mean, I've done things I'm ashamed of. But, I've had those thoughts. Said, Lord, you know, I left my career to serve you. I walked away from what I loved to serve you. I walked away from a financial future to serve you. And yet, we've had a lot of storms. It's not like since we started the church, me and Melanie, I'm serious. Since we started the church in 02, 03, it seems like life began to get really, really hard in a lot of areas, not just a lot of areas in our family, with just different issues. And I had to remind myself, God, I know you're in the midst. And God, I know you got a purpose. And I know you've got a plan. And I know that I belong to you. And I know it's going to be all right in the end. I guess got to get through the storm to get there. But just like the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was in the midst of that storm. Though the waves were raging and beating that boat and they were afraid, Jesus was in the midst of the storm. Jesus is in the midst of your storm right now. No matter what you're going through, He's in the midst of it. Depend on that and count on that. I know life can bring brokenness. Life can scar. I mean, that, and I see in church, people are so rebelling. I mean, people, I can't believe the world that I'm seeing. I can't believe it. I can't believe, but people are so lost. People are so confused. Have you looked at our 20-something generation? Have you really opened your eyes and looked at our 18 to 24-year-old generation? See how they look, how they're acting, what their ideology is, what their thinking is. They're confused, completely confused. And the way we're not confused is we let the breath of God breathe into us truth. Truth of who we are. Truth of who we belong to. Truth of God's plan and truth of God's purpose. And truth of this, that God has us. And through all the plagues and evil and sin around us, the hand of God is more powerful than any demon that comes against our lives. It's more powerful because His breath lives in us. Go to the next scripture. This is Acts 2. We all know Acts 2, too. Heard this my whole life. Acts 2. Acts 2 is when Joel 2 was fulfilled. Joel 2, Joel prophesied it. Now Acts has fulfilled it. Now, let me set you up a little bit. Jesus had just been crucified and risen. And He walked for about 40 days on the earth and He ascended. So He's gone. He rose to the dead. He's gone. But He told the disciples before He left, says, I'm going to leave, but don't worry. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. What do you mean? Believe me, you'll know it when it comes. That's why I tell folks, man, you'll know it when God touches you. It's hard to explain, but you'll know it. For some, it's different. For some, they weep and they cry. For some, they may fall out in the spirit. For some, they may just get this funny feeling. For some, they may just, who knows? For some, they laugh because the joy of God hits them in a way that overtakes them that way. But you'll know when God touches you. Whatever it is, you'll know when God touches you. And don't be afraid of that. So many people put this wall up. I don't know about this. So here, I thought about this too yesterday. We love our flesh being fulfilled. We love feelings. We love to eat the foods we like. We all love to eat a good old juicy ribeye steak with a loaded baked potato and a crisp salad with blue cheese dressing and a cold sweet tea. We love that. And them buttery yeast rolls that the flakes pull and the smoke comes out. I done made you hungry. We like that. I like that feeling. For you smokers, you like your cigarettes. Makes you feel, oh, that nicotine. Now I'm all, come. Ooh, we love that nicotine. For you beer lovers out there, we love our Michelob after a hard day work. We about mowing the yard, and let me get me that cold suds. Boy, that hit the spot. It made me feel good. I love how in the flesh we want to feel good with everything else. But when it comes to spiritually having any feelings, ooh. I don't want God to touch me now. Now, preacher, you're getting, I want to have service now, and I want to feel like I've been somewhere, and I like a little hee-haw, toe tapping. But now, when that Holy Spirit starts blowing around, I don't know. When grandma starts dancing, that scares me. When I hear people talking and stuff I don't understand, I don't know what that means. Because the breath of God not breathed on you. Church, when the breath of God breathes on you, you'll be dancing too. You know why grandma dances? Because she knows who she's dancing for. Glory to God. She knows who she's dancing for. When you know who you serve, you're excited. I mean, my God, we'd roll the red carpet out. Mr. Ryan Newman walked over here for service this morning, walked in the door. Mr. Newman. Can I get your autograph, Mr. Oh, wow. Oh, Ryan Newman. If New Kid in the Block walked in the building, Melanie, the Holy Ghost done hit her. Oh, my God. It's New Kids. It's NKOB. Oh, my God. I mean, it's amazing. We like feelings everywhere else. We love going to concerts. If Elvis Presley walked in the building, half you women would be in the floor, passed out. Huh? Well, she's old now. Well, she don't look as good as I do. That's back in her younger days. Anyway, it amazed me how everything else we like feeling. But when it comes to spiritual things, I don't want to feel, you know why? Because the devil's hanging on tight as he can to you. Because he knows when the breath of God breathes on you, it breaks you loose. And you don't care who sees what. You're celebrating the goodness of God. And it just don't matter. It amazed me. All of you been to concerts of some sort. You've been to something. Everybody waving their hands, right? And, raise your hands in the air. Act like you just don't care. And all that. And people lighting candles, Ooh. I mean, my God, I can't get people to stand up. You ever been to a ball game? Any kind of game. Baseball, any game. Most of the time you're standing more than you're sitting. If you go to a Charlotte Hornets game, you're on your feet most of the time. Most of the time, unless you can't stand. I know some of you can't stand. I'm not that old yet. I can still stand. But you stand for 2 hours. Looking at everything, you're standing, ain't tired, woo, hollering. Can I get amen? Crickets. Not a ball game. People hollering, people don't even know. I mean, I even know those players. I ain't never met them. Woo, Kimba Walker, you the man. Never even spoke to him. I love you, Kimba, will you marry me? Never even met him. Now, I wouldn't. I don't go that way. But I'm just saying, for you went, marry me. Don't even know him. We're supposed to know God, right? He's our Lord. The Bible says, make a joyful noise on every stringed instrument, sing and praise the Lord and dance before the Lord. If we know who we serve, that's not a problem. That's why we need the breath of God to change us. So here they are now. God said, I got a comforter coming. You'll know what it is. So he says, don't leave Jerusalem until it happens. So they go to this upper room area. They go to this building, this place together, about 120 of them. They're gathering this one place. And 10 days after Jesus ended, this happened. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, and they were in one place. And suddenly, see, I love the word suddenly. You know why I love suddenly? Because suddenly can happen. Yes. Anytime. So, and the reason I like that, no matter what you're going through today, it can suddenly change. In an instant, A phone call could change your destiny for a good way. Something in the mail could change your destiny. In an instant, things could change. So they're in that upper room, they're praying, they're in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It was, church, the breath of God they heard. It was His breath that they heard coming. And it was like a mighty rushing wind. Think about this. It's pretty windy yesterday. If you were outside, some bad gusts. We could hear the wind. You could hear it howling. Think about this. They're in this room. Now, we take that for granted because we feel the Spirit of God. We've always, if you've been, since you've been saved, you know that. But for these people, this is a brand new experience. They ain't never felt this before. So they're in this upper room, and they're praying, and they hear a sound. And I do believe this is not, I believe this was a natural sound that they heard. I believe their natural ears heard something come in the room that was different. And it was like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled, church. See, that's what we need, to be filled, not to be band-aided, not to be touched on the outside a little bit. We need to be filled, because when we're filled, we're satisfied. When we're filled, we're complete. When we're filled, we're not hungry no more. You ever went and ate a meal and then hungry an hour later? It didn't fill you up. Chinese, right? You're hungry 2 hours later. It never, no matter how much you eat Chinese, it will not fill you up very long. Don't know why, it don't fill you up. Filled. I don't eat Chinese no more. But for those of you who do, it don't fill you up. Filled. It filled the room where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and each one sat upon them. Picture this. A clove of fire. Upon each of them as it went through the room, appearing and filling them and covering them, changing their lives. The breath of God was going, whew, 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 whew. And for the first time, humanity had the Spirit of God living inside of them, not on the outside. Glory to God. It changed everything. It gave them power they didn't have before. It gave them boldness, an authority, a presence, a wisdom, an understanding they never had before. If you want dry old religion, good for you. I don't want that. I need to know that my God's alive and not dead. I need to know He's risen forevermore. I need to feel my God and know He's in my life. It's not good enough to know about God, man. I want to know God. I want to know His voice. I want to feel His presence. I want to hear that voice. And I want to be changed by His power. It's the only thing that's changing us. The medical industry is making billions and billions of dollars on medicating people for problems the Holy Spirit can take care of. Church, I understand we get depressed. Don't think I ain't been tempted sometimes to say, you know what? Whatever. I'm about overloaded. Give me something. But then I realized that don't fix nothing. For those of you that are on that, you realize the problem still exists. The problem's still really there. The only way the problem's removed is to let the Lord remove it. Peter says, cast all your burden upon me because I care for you. Give it to me. Let me have it. I can change your life. Each one of them, the fire of tongues sat upon each of them. The next verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. First time in human creation that the presence of God came to dwell inside of humanity. It filled them. The Holy Spirit filled them. Now that Holy Spirit talk makes a lot of people nervous. I understand that. We don't break out snakes here, don't worry. Just mice. I'm just kidding, man. We don't break out. The Holy Spirit, it scares so many people because they don't understand it. They don't understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's for your benefit. It's to help empower you. It's to help comfort you. It's to help teach you. It's to give you authority. It's to give you peace. It's to give you understanding. It's to give you joy. that no matter what you see outside of you, you know who lives inside of you. So powerful to know you can face anything with Him. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this tongues was not the tongues that we hear in most churches. That's where I stopped on that part. This is tongues of other nations being spoken. It goes on to say that there were different people from different languages in that room. And they said, how are we understanding their language? It'd be like if I begin to speak fluent Spanish. And Margo and Alex are like, how is he speaking our language? He doesn't know Spanish. But they understood it. This is a demonstration that God had indeed come to live inside of man. It was proof that overshadowed their natural understanding. It was proof to show how else could this be without me. There's no way. There's no explanation. I mean, can any of you in here, except for Margaret, I know she speaks Spanish and English, anybody else can speak another fluent language? I doubt you can. If you can, you're the best kept secret in the church. I can't. The only German I know is, ja, I know that. You know, so French, I know, monsieur, you know. Oui, oui, monsieur. That's all I know. But all of a sudden, I start preaching in French. Y'all going to know something's going on. The Holy Spirit's in the house, and something's happening. These men marveled. These women marveled. How are we hearing? I mean, think about this. Jane begins to stand up and start speaking, you know, Egyptian. I don't know if it's not called that. I guess Arabic. Like, what? First of all, I'm going to take cover. And then we say, okay, Lord, is this you? You know, somebody else starts standing up and they speak German. Somebody else speaks up and they speak French. Somebody speaks Italian. Somebody speaks, you know, whatever. Like, they heard all of this because the breath of God overshadowed their natural ability. That's what we need today, is the breath of God to overshadow our natural ability. I got to think about the story of the little widow woman with the oil. I love that story. You remember, she was about to die, had a little bit of oil to cook her last meal, was going to die. The prophet came along. It says, go gather all the vessels you can, empty vessels. She went door to door gathering empty vases, empty bottles, empty, you know, whatever. Brought them back to the house. Said, close yourself up in there. And all she had was a little bit of oil. Said, begin to pour your oil into every vase. Now, this breaks all logic of natural science. How in the world can a little bit of oil fill all these bottles? Really? But what happened? I could just see this picture as this little woman of faith trying to save her family is pouring this oil in that bottle. I'm sure she's watching it, seeing how it's going to happen. And I could just see God breathing upon that oil. Next bottle. The breath of God breathing supernaturally, creating something that shouldn't be there, stretching that oil out to meet the need of her faith, of what she had brought into the house. And that oil did not stop until the last vase was filled. And that's when the breath of God stopped. And she had enough to pay her debts and live the rest of her lives. Because God's breath changed things. It breathed up on the oil. The woman with the issue of blood, another beautiful story we've read about many times, 12 years, could not get healed. Kept bleeding, 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 could not get healed. Went to doctors, went to everybody, spent her money, spent her energy, think how discouraged she was. 12 years and was no better. She heard about Jesus coming her way. She heard about all the miracles and thought, if I could just get to him, I bet he could heal me. Nobody else has worked, he could touch me. And as she made her way, now remember, this day was a very different day in this time period. She was a woman. Women had different rules than men in that time period. There wasn't the feminist movement or equal opportunity as there is in America today. Women were treated very different. And they were considered second class almost in a lot of ways. Not only that, but she was a sick woman, which was a reproach in that land to be out among the public when you're sick. It was a reproach. Shouldn't have been out there mingling with normal people. So she had to make a decision. What do? I have to break out of my shell, go against custom and ritual to try to touch Jesus. And she did. She made her way through the crowd. Jesus walking through. Everybody's hanging on to him, touching him. She touched him. And Jesus said, who touched me? I want you to hear those words. Who touched me?
See, that's what we need. We need God to touch us. God, touch me. I mean, touch me. Don't touch me in just a feel-good way. Touch me in the innermost core of my life. Touch me to where the stronghold is. Take the root out and get rid of it to where I'm set free by your power. We need that kind of touch. And so the woman in fear, or the disciples said, Master, many are touching you. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean? No, no, no. Somebody with faith touch me. Somebody that really knows who I am, touch my garment. The woman being afraid said, Lord, it was me. You know, probably thinking, gosh, I'm sorry, or my bad, or oops, or are you mad at me? He looked at her. He says, your faith has made you whole. God breathed upon her sickness and brought healing. God breathed upon it. Don't give up today. If you're sick, suddenly things can change. Suddenly God can breathe and everything be different. There are story after story of seeing how the breath of God changed things. What caused the Red Sea to part? Wow, can you imagine that? Red Sea split in two to save the people he would go deliver. When they were pinned between two enemies, water they couldn't cross and armor they couldn't defeat. When they were trapped between two, the breath of God showed up. And where there was no way, the breath of God created a way and made a way of safety for them to cross over and find victory. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're battling, one breath of God changes everything. And I love Paul. I love Paul. We know Paul. He was a bad man in the beginning. He was named Saul. Bad man. Hated Christians. Hated Jesus. Hated the message. Hated what he taught. He's on his way marching in anger and hate and frustration to go get them Christians. I mean, he went so far, mind me the ACLU, he went so far as to get paperwork to try to go and arrest them for minding their own business. It ain't like they were, I mean, what was the big deal? That's what I understand now with Christians. Everybody's so upset with Christians. We're so non-tolerant. We're so this. We're so this. You know, I'm about to blow a gasket on somebody. They keep doing that to me, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, he's marching along. He's mad. He's frustrated. He's angry. Now, remember, he was at Stephen's stoning when Stephen was stoned to death. Stephen was a man of God. And Paul was there. The Bible says he was consenting unto his death. He was a part of it. He was all for it. I mean, imagine that. We got Charles Fresco out here on the floor. And we all throwing rocks at him, beating him to death. Boo, boo. And Jerry's standing there. And he's all, you know, yeah, kill Fresco, kill Fresco. Fresco fall. Hit him with the rock. Till he's all going, whatever, chanting, yelling. You old Christian, you think Jesus is the way. You blasphemer, da-da-da-da. Kill him. The same man that did that now is walking on the road, going to arrest Christians. It doesn't seem very fair God would call him, does it? I mean, really think about it. Most of us, as Rodney said, will be like, you know what, you better get yours. He better get his. I mean, you know, how dare God call him, really? But something happened. On the road to Damascus, a light shined and a voice spoke. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you kicking against the pricks or the goads? Why are you going against what I've called you for? All of a sudden, immediately, suddenly, Paul changed. Lord, Lord. Now he's calling him Lord. What would you have me do? All of a sudden, the breath of God breathed upon him, and it changed his destiny. Can you imagine the Christians? I bet if Paul had been an actual pastor, I know he opened churches, but if he had a pastor to church, he probably wouldn't have very many people come. Yeah, I ain't going to your church. You're the one to try to kill Stephen. And now you're a preacher? Now you're a Christian? Are you serious? I know you, Paul. But God used him and used him. And Paul suffered many things for the sake of Christ. He suffered many things. But the breath of God blew upon him. And that last letter he wrote in the New Testament, he wrote in prison. He was still writing the word of God. I think about that. As he was in his little cell, little tiny cell, getting ready to be executed. He was still writing the word of God that we, 2,000 years later, are still reading. How powerful that is. That we're reading the very words. How many funerals have I said this? I've ran the race. I finished my course. My time of departure is at hand. there was laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing. How many funerals have I spoken those words to saints of God in a casket? 2,000 years ago, Paul, while in prison, wrote that. The breath of God changed his life forever. The breath of God can change your life forever. Marty, come on up if you would and play a little something soft. Church, I don't want you to leave here the way you came in. God wants to set you free. He wants to breathe. Some of us need a real experience. We've had church. I understand that. We've been through the motions. Been through all the stuff. We've done all the right things, maybe, what the world says we should do. We go to church. We give our offering. We go to Sunday school. We pray at home. We say our blessing. But have we had a real breath of God breathe upon us? To where, I think about Bob Shepherd. How the breath of God breathed on Bob. He had a real experience. You know, Pat was here last Sunday with us. It was so wonderful. And, you know, she's the one that got Bob to come to church. Bob didn't want to come to church. He was in the fire department. He didn't want to come. He just came to shut her up, he said. Bob Shepherd was about 6'4", 300-pound man. Big old, girly, without the brawny man on paper towels. Had a big mustache. Big man. He's a mechanic. Had a hard life. Bob was abused as a child. He was raised in orphanages. Went from orphanage to orphanage. He was thrown down steps as a child. I didn't learn some of this after he died. All the stuff he'd went through. Never had parents to raise him. And he lived this life. All of his life. You can imagine why he would be angry. Why he'd be mad. But one Sunday morning at fire department, we had an altar call. Bob Shepherd walked up there. This man who I'd never seen show any emotions, weeping like a child, shaking. He was crying so hard, he was shaking like this. Because God breathed on him. God breathed on him, and it changed his life. And from that point on, Bob didn't play church. He became part of the church. Church, he bought that van for this church. The love he had. Ran a little mechanic shop. Pat worked at Walmart. They didn't make no money. Not money. Just getting by. Didn't even own their home. They rented. He said, the church needs a van. He bought that van, church. $20-some thousand van he bought. I didn't even hint for that. I didn't even ask for it. He came to me. The church needs a van to go pick people up. So every time we're in that van, I think about the love that he had for us. The love he had for you. A lot of y'all don't know Bob. But he did it for you too. Because he did it for his church. And did it for his God. God breathed upon him. God breathed upon my little Ashley on that playground. In church, if you're tired of hearing the same old stories, I'm sorry. Go start your own church and you can pastor. These are important things I'm telling you. My daughter's on the playground swinging one day. She's 8 years old, 7 years old, 7 or 8 years old. It's me, Mel, and Ashley, the only ones here. And she's on that little swing swinging. She comes in the church. She's crying. So what's wrong, Ashley? So I was out there singing to God and just swinging and said, it was cloudy, and all of a sudden I'm singing, and the cloud moves, and the sun shines, and I hear a voice saying, I want to save you. We knelt down the backboard dock sitting back there in the back of that church, and we prayed with her for Jesus to come into her heart. The breath of God breathed upon her. The breath of God can breathe upon you to where you're changed. Church, we're going to need change to withstand what we're facing. I'm telling you, what we're facing, we're going to need to be breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know what the world will look like in 10 more years if we're still here. I don't know. I just know all around me, things are shifting and changing so rapidly. It's a world that even I'm not recognizing. Where anything goes. Everything's okay. Because people don't have the fix they need. And the fix in Christ. I want you to bow your head with me, and I want to ask you this before we leave. I want to open up the altar this morning to anyone that wants to come stand with me, that we pray the breath of God fills our lives this morning. That you need a real touch. You need either restoration. You need to be restored. You need hope. You just need the breath of God to breathe upon you in a way that changes you. Come stand with me if you would this morning. Go ahead and sing a little something, Margie.
Breathe on me.
Church, His holy presence is so strong in this place right now. I just want to challenge it. If there's any doubt, you're supposed to be up here. If there's any doubt, if something's fighting you right now, just press through that doubt and make that first step to come forward and say, yes, Lord, I want to be breathed upon. I don't know what the future holds for me. I don't know what all that really means, but I just know God is drawing me now for something more. I just know God is drawing me this moment for something more. Obey that this morning. His presence is so strong right now. Obey that and get what God has for you today, that you leave here changed by His Spirit.
Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in deep. Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me.
Father, for everyone at this altar right now, God, I ask that your breath be poured upon every life here. God, you fill us, that sound from heaven we hear, and that mighty rushing wind swoops in, and that we are changed by your presence right now. That God, every stronghold is broken, every demon is cast out, that there is peace and there is hope, that there is restoration again for your people, that we surrender all we have to the one who has it all. In the name of Jesus, blow upon our lives as we receive that breath and that manna from heaven right now. We believe it and we receive it, and we're going to leave here changed by your presence in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Burn in me.
Praise you.
Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire. Burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire. Burn in me. Burn in me.
Praise. I just feel led to do something. I just heard God speak this to me. I want everyone that's under the age of 30 to come up here, if you would. If you'd be willing to do that. If you're under 30 years old, I want you to come up here and stand. If you're at the altar, I want you to stand up. If you're under 30, I want you to stand up. I just felt, I heard God speak to me. Pray for this generation. Under 30, pray for this generation. Church, I've got kids, young kids. I know the culture. I know what they're facing. I see it all the time. And the devil is trying to destroy this generation. Trying to destroy it. This generation is growing up, especially the lower end, under 25, is growing up that homosexuality is normal and it's okay. And you're a stupid idiot for not understanding that. They're growing up with this. I'm so thankful my daughter at 21 has a foundation that wasn't shaken through her college. Because most colleges are very liberal, as you know. Liberal. And Christians face many challenges with that and had to stand on her faith. And I'm so thankful she had that foundation. But many don't stand that ground. And this generation, the devil is after them. Facing. Anybody else under 30? D, are you 30? Oh. Come on up here. You're close enough. Come on up here. Do me a... Kevin, do me a favor. Go get the kids. Tell them to come in here, if you would. Tell them I need to pray for all the kids. Seeing Jerry's son here remind me of that. Let's get all the kids in here, too. And let's pray over their lives. I'm telling you, church, the school system and what they're hearing and what they're around is so corrupt and so evil. I want to pray the sealing hand of God upon this generation, people that are our church, our body, our family. Dave and Peyton, y'all come up here. Y'all come up here if you wouldn't stand. We'll say a prayer for everybody. Y'all come up here, ladies. Probably got the nursery kids coming in. Yeah. Y'all come up here, kids, if you wouldn't, just stand with me. Maverick, come on up here, buddy. Come up here and stand. Come on up here, kids. All the kids, I need to come up here for a minute. Is that everybody, Kevin? Thank you, sir. Kids, I want you to listen to me. The reason I brought you up here is I want to pray for you guys. Tay, you believe in prayer, don't you? I want to pray for all of you because you're facing so many things in school. You're going to face things. If you're not in school, you're going to face that. And I want to just pray over your generation that God watches over every one of you and helps this younger generation. You're how old? 17? How old are you? 16, 17, and you're 18, and you're 17. So we got from teenagers to down, and then we have folks in their 20s. You're 20, Brandon, 19, 20. So let's pray for this generation. Church, stretch your hands toward this generation, toward these young people. Lord, I want to pray that your breath fills every one of these people at this altar. That God, your breath breathes upon them, finds them, speaks to them, and seals them all of their days. That they will not go the way of the enemy, that they will not be destroyed, but they will be the seed of the living God that you have called and you are raising up. Lord, I speak your covering hand upon all of these children and these young adults. As they enter their lives, as they walk through their journey, that you keep them and preserve them from all harm, and let the ideology of this world, them not be transformed to that, or conformed to that, but be transformed by the renewing of their mind through your Holy Spirit. we seal them, and we have your covering upon them in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are not allowed to have this generation. We speak life and we speak preservation all of their days. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Thank you. Give our